Truth.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, December 1st, 2021, hump day, middle of the weekday, starting that long, slow glide down to POW on a Friday. And I want to start out here with an apology to the people trying to watch this over our video streaming service, because apparently they're having some kind of technical issues. And from this side, it keeps disconnecting and reconnecting, and the bit rate of the stream is way down. So I don't even know if you can hear this disclaimer. This will not affect the video of the show that will be put up later this evening by Ron Gibson. So you can catch up then if you really want to. Anyway, we got a lot of news, a lot of stuff going on today, and Mike is in our control room taking care of business. So let's get right on into it. The signs of Joe Biden's decline are continuing to pile up. He was there trying to read the title of a new bill, and he got the first two words out and then apparently just locked up or something. There was another situation where the White House literally cut Biden's audio and started playing God Bless America when he started rambling off script. So there's a definite worrying there. A former presidential physician is basically saying his cognitive decline, meaning Biden, is too much. And if he is not capable of being the president, he does need to resign. I would tend to agree. Now, they went through this dog and pony show of giving Biden a physical, and the doctor came on out and said, oh, he's absolutely fine. They did not do a cognitive test. And I would like to remind everybody of how the White House successfully hid Franklin Delano Roosevelt's polio from the American people. And they went to really great lengths to hide the wheelchairs. And one of the earlier versions of Air Force One literally had an elevator installed in the belly where they could, lower FDR and his wheelchair onto the runway as he was traveling around doing his job here. All righty. Another indicator that Donald Trump is going to run in 2024. He's basically out there saying that he's got a long list of beggars wanting to be his 2024 running mate. And so it does look like he's going to try again, and I certainly wish him a lot of luck. Not because I was impressed with the job he did, although it was certainly better than under the current administration. But frankly, I think a great injustice was done to him in last November's election, or a year ago November election, and there's an opportunity to perhaps reverse that and see a little bit of justice there. And, if Trump runs, he's really going to have a tremendous advantage, because the Democrats are stuck with this selection of incredibly bad, weak candidates. They've got Biden himself with very, very low polling numbers, Kamala Harris, that's even worse. And really nobody waiting in the wings, although I'm sure Hillary Clinton is trying to figure out some way she can get back in the game again. But really, it's not shaping up well for the Democrats for the White House in 2024 here. More revelations from the laptop from heck, meaning Joe Biden's laptop. And more information from that has revealed that Joe Biden was to be a party to the deal being discussed with the Chinese energy company CFEC, and was going to get a 10% cut of the deal. And there's a book out now called The Laptop from Heck. Well, actually, it's called something slightly different. Miranda Devine details how the Biden family took Navy veteran and businessman Tony Bobulinski to help push the deal, along with the Chinese mogul Yi Jianming, who was in command of the Chinese government-affiliated CFEC. And, of course, we didn't hear anything about that from the corporate media, nor did we hear anything about the recent revelation that Hunter Biden arranged for China to purchase a massive cobalt mining company just before the U.S. government began pushing us all to buy electric vehicles, which require cobalt for their batteries. So everybody's making money back and forth. Now, unusually, there is a media group that has banded together. This includes CNN, ABC, The New York Times, and The Washington Post. They have filed a legal brief in support of Steve Bannon's attempt to unseal documents from the Department of Justice in his contempt of Congress case. And so that's unusual. Maybe they're going back to doing real news. In fact, there was a story out, pardon me, that the majority stockholder in CNN is now demanding that CNN go back to being a news reporting organization and get off all of this indoctrination and propaganda, because their viewership numbers are down. They're losing money like crazy in the advertising revenues here. Now, over on ABC's The View, Joy Behar came on out with an odd little comment saying that the First and Second Amendments need to be tweaked because the Founding Fathers didn't have weapons of war or Twitter. And again, this is a part of that liberalism to get rid of the Bill of Rights. But Joy is wrong on two accounts. We didn't have Twitter back during the American Revolution, but they did have means of posting information for other people to see. It was called the Liberty Tree. And that was a tree in the woods that everybody knew it was there, and people could write little messages and just nail them to the tree. And the British would find those trees and they'd try and cut them down, much as Facebook and Twitter and YouTube are trying to block communication now. And the Patriots would simply find another tree and start the process all over again. As far as weapons of war, what does Joy think that the American Revolution was fought and won with? Now, Joy is out there parroting one of the liberal gun grabber points. That when the Constitution was written, there was no such thing as guns that could fire multiple rounds. And again, she is ignorant of history, because in 1718, there was a gun developed called the Puckle gun. And it was a gun that carried multiple loads and could fire them in rapid succession. So again, a little bit of history would be advisable before you make a fool of yourself. It is looking like next year is going to be a fight, and people are very much aware of election fraud. They are determined to stop it. And in Dane County, Wisconsin, last election, there were 41 volunteer election workers that were Republican. Now it's at 318 for the next election. Now, getting on over to that horrible tragedy at the Wisconsin school, a fourth student has now passed away from their injuries from being shot. And, so now there's a total of four students who are dead following this shooting at Oxford High School in Oxford, Michigan. And the photos of the victims are already out there, but still no photos or identification of the suspect. They claim that because he's underage and a minor, that his identity has to be protected. I'm not entirely sure that's what's going on. And there is, indications this was not an impulsive act, according to the Oakland County prosecutor, Karen McDonald. They had a big press conference not too long ago. It was carried on One American News Network. And the developments are, first of all, this suspect, this student, did have a history of acting out behavior, bad behavior. In fact, just the morning of that shooting, and his parents had been called in by the administration for a meeting about trying to straighten him out. Then he was released back into the school. The parents went home, and then the shooting happened. Now, police searched the home of the suspect, and apparently the father was a gun collector or a gun enthusiast. They literally carried out armfuls of weapons, mostly long rifles, from the home. And apparently the shooter brandished or flaunted, bragged about his father's new 9mm pistol on Instagram. And went to a shooting range to learn how to shoot it before he turned it on his classmates. So, again, the father had bought the gun used in the Michigan shooting days ago. And basically bought it on Black Friday, where you get those discounts here. And so it's an ugly situation. The gun grabbers, of course, are going crazy. It's all over social media. This is the fault of the NRA. You've got blood on your hands. And again, this is like, you know, if a drunk driver drives across a crosswalk and kills a bunch of people, do they want to ban everybody's car? No, of course, they do not. Now, there was a video that has gone viral around the net showing students locked inside a classroom, sheltering in place, and somebody knocks on the door and says, this is the sheriff's department, it's okay to come on now. During the recent press conference, they're saying this video is not of the shooter. It really was a member of the police force trying to get the kids to relax and come on out. And they made a real point of not trusting the internet for information about this case, which tells me there's something already leaking out that they want to get back under control. Getting on over to the Jussie Smollett trial, legal analysts are looking at what's going on in the courtroom and saying that he will likely be found guilty. Now, Smollett was accused of falsely claiming that he was jumped by two men who hurled racist and homophobic slurs at him. Smollett is both black and gay. And police investigation basically discovered Smollett had hired brothers Abimbola and Olabinjo Osandaro to attack him so that he could somehow turn that attack into a higher salary on his acting gig on Empire. He actually got fired instead here. And one of the reasons that it looks like he is going to be going to jail is, being an actor, he held a rehearsal ahead of time of this staged hate crime, and it happened to be caught and recorded by a surveillance camera, and that video was shown in the courtroom. So, yeah, that's pretty bad. Meanwhile, Jussie Smollett's lawyer is definitely getting desperate. He came on out claiming that the Osandaro brothers are sophisticated criminals who deliberately set Jussie Smollett up. Okay. Now, getting on over to the Ghislaine Maxwell case, there is already signs of a massive cover-up going on there. Edward Friedland, the district executive for the Southern District of New York, announced prior to the trial there will no longer be public access to the court hearings by telephone. So if you tried to call on in and couldn't get access, this is why. Now, Law and Crime does have a reporter inside the trial live threading developments, which are now getting out onto the net. And, of course, unlike the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, there is no video coverage either. So they had testimony today from a woman who's going by the name of Jane, not her real name, who basically provided some very lurid details as to what was going on with Ghislaine and Epstein. And they started basically grooming her and having sex with her when she was 14 years old. And Ghislaine took part. She not only watched, she actually took part. And it got pretty gritty. I'm not going to go into the fine details here because I like to pretend that this is a family show here. Meanwhile, Epstein's former pilot took the stand and said, yeah, a lot of very famous people flew on the Lolita Express. That was the name of Epstein's private plane here. And but he said he never saw indications of sexual activity on the plane itself. So that's what his testimony was. And already people are trying to tarnish Donald Trump with this, saying that he was one of the famous men who flew on the plane, and by golly, he's a child molester, and no way should you vote for him in 2024. Trump only flew once on Epstein's plane from Florida to New York City. He never went down to that little Caribbean island here. And as a result of what he learned about Epstein, he later banned him from Mar-a-Lago. Apparently, Epstein was trying to recruit from among the young girls on staff there, and Trump really did not like that at all. Now, interestingly enough, Ghislaine's attorney referred to a former astronaut senator who flew on the Lolita Express, and this may be a veiled warning that if Ghislaine goes to prison, she might start to name names. And unless something unfortunate happens to her and she joins Jeff Epstein and Ken Lay down there in the Cayman Islands or something like that. But they were basically saying a former astronaut senator. Now, there are five astronauts who later became U.S. senators. A lot more have been elected to the House of Representatives. The senators include John Glenn, Harrison Jack Schmidt, Jake Garn, Bill Nelson, and Mark Kelly. Jake Garn actually was a senator before he became an astronaut. He got himself a ride on the space shuttle. But all these men had flown in space and obtained fame and publicity by the time Epstein began his honey-trapping operations in the 1990s. Now, responding to a request for comment on the matter, representatives for Senator Kelly indicated the Arizona Democrat never met Epstein or Maxwell or flew on the plane. So everybody's out there saying, I wonder who it was. Now, the focus right now in the media is on the tantalizing, titillating sexual details and the important people who partook in this kind of wanton behavior. And what is not being discussed about is why Epstein was doing this. And it has been long suggested that Epstein was running a honey trap operation to record these powerful individuals having sex with underage children in order to control them. And there is a former spy for Israel, Ari Ben-Menash, who is out there saying that, Israel's main motive behind Epstein's blackmail operation was to exert control over American politicians and business leaders. And remember, Ghislaine Maxwell is the daughter of Robert Maxwell, who was a known Mossad asset. Getting on back to the Waukesha Christmas parade attack, the media is still out there trying to downplay it, to downplay the fact that the suspect was black. CNN hit a new low by saying the people were hit by an SUV, like the SUV drives itself and anything. But basically, looking at the social media of this individual, he hated white people. And from witness statements about how he zigzagged in the parade as he went through it, he was trying to hit as many as possible. And the corporate media is not reporting this because it goes against the narrative of white oppressors and poor black victims here. In fact, Laura Ingraham and Dinesh D'Souza basically called out the corporate media for their hypocrisy. You know, they're not reporting the story because it doesn't fit their preferred narrative. Now, one of the interesting stories that came on out about the Christmas parade attacker was that he had been freed on bail just days before. And now it's coming on out. This is a report that we got in Crack News. They can't find the records of the court hearing where he was freed on bail. Somebody made those definitely go away. Meanwhile, right after Biden took a six-day vacation, Jem Psaki is saying, well, he can't fit in a visit to the grieving families in Waukesha. It's going to cost a lot of money to send him out there, blah, blah, blah. Again, they want this story to go away as quickly as possible because it doesn't fit the narrative. And again, with the school shooting, I'd like to know the ethnicity of this suspect and whether the Rittenhouse verdict was part of the motive. We've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it. As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
On the fifth day of global warming, Al Gore gave to me $5 polar bears, $4 guests, 3 failed automakers, 2 melting ice caps, and the Fear Mongering documentary.
Welcome back to our show here, and the New York Post just identified the Michigan shooter. His name is Ethan Crumbly. He is white. And so, they're now saying basically he was exacting revenge for being bullied by the other students. And so that's where we are with that. Now, getting on back to Rittenhouse, as you're already aware, there were huge protests on the campus of Arizona State University demanding that Kyle Rittenhouse be expelled and kept off the campus, which was kind of moot because Kyle is enrolled in online learning and never went to the campus at all. Another group of students held a rally today saying that Kyle Rittenhouse should be allowed to continue his studies at ASU. So there's a little counter-protester there. All righty. Now, a gentleman, and I use the term loosely, Alexander Starks, he's a self-described Antifa activist, and he basically went on a rampage at a Republican senator's office. and basically went to the office of Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota, and he pinged the intercom, did not get an answer, left, came back with an axe and chopped up the intercom and windows and walked away. He got off with probation. Okay, that's all. He's not going to jail. It's getting off with probation here. Over in New York City, a man named Augustin Garcia was basically robbed a woman at knife point. He was released without bail. The prosecutors wanted a $15,000 bail, but they just let him on out. And the very next day, he found another female victim and robbed her. So, yeah, this whole bail thing is really getting to be a mess. All right. The big news today, of course, is the Supreme Court hearing regarding Roe versus Wade. Now, that's not the name of the case. The case it basically is coming out of Mississippi, and it has to do with their law banning abortions after 15 weeks. Now, to me, it is reasonable to think that if a woman gets pregnant, she's going to be well aware of it before 15 weeks and she can make a decision. But apparently it's a big deal for the pro-abortion people that you be allowed to abort whenever you want. Right up to the moment of delivery. We even heard that from, you know, some really top people in the government. Yeah, women have the freedom to get rid of their babies, you know, just as they're wheeling into the delivery room. And so the Supreme Court listened to arguments for about 2 hours today. And, of course, with the conservative majority, they're thinking they're probably going to leave the Mississippi law in place, which would effectively nullify Roe versus Wade, which a lot of people think was a very bad decision by the Supreme Court. Not quite down there with the Dred Scott decision, but still a bad one here. And Justice Sotomayor compared unborn babies to brain-dead people. No, that is not a good comparison because they're showing neural activity, brain activity, during that third trimester here. Now, Justice Kavanaugh is being looked at as possibly being the deciding vote on this case here. Meanwhile, yesterday, former Vice President Mike Pence basically said it's time to send Roe versus Wade to the ash heap of history where it belongs. Now, needless to say, there are protests in front of the Supreme Court building on both sides, pro-life, pro-abortion. And the pro-abortion protesters supposedly were taking abortion pills outside the Supreme Court, which, you know, it's those things are actually kind of dangerous. You know, the birth control pills and the abortion pills, they really mess you up. They're not good for you. So it was a kind of a silly thing to do. Meanwhile, Senator Gene Shaheen of New Hampshire warned that if Roe versus Wade is overturned, it could trigger a revolution. Her words. Sounds like a bit of a threat there here. Meanwhile, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who normally tends to be very quiet during those hearings, came out with a question that really kind of nailed the point. He said, does a mother have a right to ingest drugs and harm a pre-viable baby? Could the state bring child neglect charges against the mother? And the attorney representing Jackson Women's Health Organization, which is attempting to overturn the Mississippi law, said that's not what this case is about, but a woman has a right to make choices about her body. It's a weak argument because she's not making a choice about her body. She's making a choice about her baby's body. But as of the last report, it looks like the Supreme Court will uphold Mississippi's abortion law, and Roe versus Wade is definitely going to go away. All right, we got to take another break here for some commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show here, and getting on over to corporate media. We've been following the Chris Cuomo story, and it has come out recently that he basically exploited his media contacts trying to help his brother Andrew Cuomo deal with these sexual allegations, trying to find information on his accusers and so forth. CNN has finally placed him on indefinite suspension while they investigate the situation. And I think CNN did that to make it look like they're trying to deal with the situation. But we, let's see, we'll be seeing, sorry, I got distracted momentarily. I think the fact that he's on indefinite suspension rather than being fired outright tells us that they're going to try and rehabilitate him and bring him back someplace, you know, in the future here. But meanwhile, there were a lot of people at CNN who are kind of glad to see him go. They're basically, they thought that he was basically riding his brother's coattails, and he was not well liked within CNN at all. Now, Tucker Carlson branded Chris Cuomo an illiterate buffoon you know, yeah, and it's an ugly situation, but it's spreading beyond CNN because documents released from the New York State Attorney General Tish James include some communications indicating that over at NBC, correspondent Katie Turr was basically using Chris Cuomo's information verbatim in her live broadcast. So MSNBC may get caught up in this situation here. In other news, we are still seeing this mob, flash mob, smash and grab robberies at stores all across America. The police are hamstrung and unfunded. They can't really stop it. And according to security company executives, retailers are now basically spending a lot of money to try and armor their stores to protect them from the smash and grab robberies. And ultimately, of course, those costs of those security measures will get passed on to you as increased prices. All right. Meanwhile, President Trump, I should say former President Trump, but for a lot of people, he's still the president here. He's basically saying it's time for the Democrats who created this climate for the smash and grab robberies. Either they deal with it or call in the National Guard, because it really is. All right, let's talk about COVID. It is definitely out there, and the new Omicron variant has been a blessing for the vaccine makers. Their stocks are way, way up. Meanwhile, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System data is now showing 913,000 reported adverse events following the vaccinations. Meanwhile, showing just how wonderful modern science can be, Novavax says they'll have a new vaccine in just 2 weeks to deal with the Omicron variant, which was announced only last week. And I mean, take a look at, you know, HIV, AIDS. How long have they been working for a vaccine for that, and they still haven't done it? And Novavax is going to do it in 3 weeks here. Meanwhile, they have identified the first case of the Omicron variant in the United States in a fully vaccinated individual. They're going to use this Omicron story to cover up for the fact that these vaccine treatments, these gene therapies, aren't really working to do what they're supposed to do here. And these vaccine mandates are causing hospitals and emergency rooms to close because they don't have staff. The staff are quitting or being fired. Meanwhile, in Louisiana, Western District Judge, U.S. Judge Terry Doty, has issued a decision that follows a ruling from Missouri U.S. District Judge Matthew Shelp regarding the vaccine mandate. Now, Shelp basically banned Biden's vaccine mandate for health workers in several states, and Judge Doty basically extended it as nationwide. Reports are that Biden is throwing a tantrum over that one. Meanwhile, the Secretary of Defense has sent out a memo saying that all members of the armed forces under Department of Defense authority must have a full vaccination. And now they are threatening to withhold the paychecks for the Oklahoma National Guard in response to their desire to not have this needle stuck in their arm. Anyway, the Biden administration is now considering a 7-day home quarantine for Americans returning from other countries, regardless of whether they are vaccinated or have a negative test. You come back to this country, you go home, you stay there. Over at CNBC, Jim Cramer, who I always thought was an economics person, is out there demanding Joe Biden impose a universal vaccine mandate enforced by the military. I mean, that goes so against the Nuremberg principle of informed consent. It really does here. Meanwhile, down in Texas, Governor Abbott says the South African travel ban instituted by Biden is hypocritical, because the illegal immigrants continue to cross our open southern border. Now, Fauci was doing another press conference. Oh, he loves his press conferences. And a reporter asked if the new COVID restrictions for all travelers would apply to the illegals. And Fauci hemmed and hawed and basically got out of it saying, well, that's a different issue. No, it isn't. If you're restricting travelers coming to this country, that has to include the migrants crossing that border here. Meanwhile, the head of the U.S. Travel Association is urging the Biden White House to revisit this idea of an 8-country Africa travel ban, saying it could affect the $1.5 trillion travel industry. Meanwhile, of course, we're hearing from the people who actually discovered Omicron that it's very, very mild. Most Omicron cases are mild or show no symptoms at all. And the World Health Organization is saying the existing vaccines should provide high protection against hospitalization and death. A somewhat different view is over at womensystems.com. They've been looking at the Omicron patients, and they're finding that the fully vaccinated patients show mild symptoms from Omicron. The unvaccinated don't show any symptoms at all. And this reinforces the idea that these mRNA shots are actually damaging our natural immune systems. Now, over in Maine, the Maine Board of Licensure in Medicine this month issued a statement that said physicians who generate and spread COVID-19 vaccine misinformation or disinformation are risking disciplinary action by state medical boards, including the suspension or revocation of their medical license. Well, one doctor, Dr. Merle Nass, a practicing physician in Maine and a member of the Children's Health Defense Scientific Advisory Board, came back and said, please define COVID misinformation, because nobody's ever done that. They scream that at anybody who isn't following the official narrative, but there is no actual definition of what constitutes COVID misinformation, because the definition would basically come on down to anything that harms the pharmaceutical industry profits. Okay, story coming out of Station Gossip. There is a cardiologist out of the United Kingdom who says that studies showing the link between the COVID vaccine and massive increases in heart attacks are just not being published. And they're being totally, totally ignored. And says that doctors are now starting to withhold those studies. They're not even sending them in out of concern that they could have their research funding cut. Okay. Now, there's another recently released study. It was presented at the American Heart Association Scientific Sessions meeting, and it claims the risk of developing acute coronary syndrome, a potentially life-threatening problem, increases significantly in patients who receive the experimental mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. And so, yeah, it's definitely out there. And the government's own data is showing that more than half of all vaccine adverse reactions reported for the last 30 years happened in the last 11 months following the COVID shots. If this is not a deliberate population control program, then it is the greatest medical disaster in history. And you know, could be a combination of both here. J.D. Vance is out there saying that we should just shut down the government until these vaccine mandates stop. And he's saying, you know, there's a debt limit coming up, and instead of giving them a bipartisan flag to wave, we should shut down the government until the vaccine mandate ends. And yeah, maybe. Over in Austria, they have extended their COVID-19 lockdown to December 11th. So the dictatorship continues there. Now, I want to share something with you. One of my listeners sent this book into me. It's called Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History. It is by Suzanne Humphreys, who's a medical doctor. And Roman, I hope I can pronounce this correctly, Bistrianik. And it's a very thick book. I've only gone through part of it. But two of the things that came on out of it is something that we've already observed. Natural cures that can't be patented and profited from are basically being forgotten and erased to make way for the synthetic chemicals coming from Big Pharma. We've known that for a long time. But one of the other things that's in this book that is definitely worth considering, and I am trying to get this Dr. Humphreys on the show, is that mandatory vaccines are not new. But back in the 1930s, mandatory vaccines were part of the eugenics program to basically, clean up the human gene pool, to not allow what were considered undesirable traits to be passed on to the next generation. And eugenics was very popular at the time. Then the Germans got into that whole race hygiene thing and abused it horribly. And following World War II, eugenics was a dirty word, but it may well have come on back. And this might be the explanation for that scandal that came out of Slovenia, where the nurse said there are three different types of the vaccines. There's plain saline, which all the political leaders are getting. There is the mRNA vaccine, and there is a third type that basically carries the oncogene, the gene that causes cancer. And this gave me a moment of pause, because when Claire and I got our J&J shots, I was a little surprised at how much of my personal information that guy had on his little tablet, you know, when I identified myself to get my vaccine card and everything. In other news, the big pharmaceutical companies are now on the warpath against AARP. And AARP, it's an advocacy organization for us older Americans, us seasoned citizens. They have been arguing for limits to be put on prescription medication prices. Because especially older people can't afford these things. And we know that the markup on some of these medications is something like 30, 40 times, you know, which is ridiculous. And because AARP is now advocating for reasonable pricing for pharmaceutical products, Big Pharma now wants to try and find some way to take them down, to discredit them and so forth. It's all about the Benjamins. It's the money, the money, the money, the money. Okay. Turning to the international news, and it is getting ugly over there in Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia. Antony Blinken is dropping hints now of a Russia-backed coup inside Ukraine. And I'm sure he's angry because from the U.S. point of view, a U.S.-backed coup inside Ukraine is perfectly okay. But if Russia does the same thing, well, then they're the bad guys here. So a little bit of double standard and hypocrisy. Meanwhile, Blinken has said the U.S. is now preparing additional sanctions on Belarus in coordination with the European Union. They're just piling on the pressure. They absolutely are. Meanwhile, Ukraine is warning Belarus not to recognize Crimea as Russia. And Belarus came on out the other day saying that, the people of Crimea held a referendum. They seceded from Ukraine. They held another referendum to merge with Russia, and that's what happened. But this article basically says that Ukraine does not view the referendum as legitimate, neither does Washington, D.C. And they keep going on saying that, you know, Russia invaded Crimea, they annexed Crimea, you know, more lies, you know, to get the war going here. Meanwhile, Lukashenko was out there pledging the support of Belarus to Russia in the event of an aggression originating from Ukraine. So everybody's choosing sides here. Meanwhile, Ukraine is pulling armed forces to the conflict zone in the Donbas. And this dovetails with something I said, I think it was on Monday, that my theory is that Ukraine is going to go in and conquer the Donbas, bring them back into the fold, so to speak, and find some way to say this is all because of Russia. I think it would be reckless for Ukraine to try and do that to Crimea. Russia would be forced to respond to that one here. And adding fuel to the fire, the President Lukashenko of Belarus is now threatening to halt the transit of energy products flowing through Belarus from Russia to the European Union if Poland closes their border with his country and stops that flood of migrants from going on in. That would definitely not help tensions in the region. Meanwhile, the Polish parliament is rejecting unlimited media access to the border with Belarus, which suggests they may have something to hide. So we're going to take another break for commercials here, and we'll be right back. There should be music. There it is. Okay.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're still talking about the international news, and things are definitely getting very tense around Ukraine, Belarus, Russia. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba yesterday urged NATO to act fast to deter Russian aggression, saying that a Russian attack invasion could come in the blink of an eye. He is claiming there are 90,000 Russian troops mustering near the border. And again, I'm having some serious doubts about that. First of all, what Russia does with their troops on their own territory is their business. But I remember in the run-up to the war with Iraq, when we were being told that there were these Iraqi tanks on the border with some other country, and they were getting ready to invade, and some newspaper spent their own money to go to a private satellite company and take pictures of the area where the U.S. government said the tanks were, and all they got were pictures of empty desert. So, you know, we get lied into wars all the time here. Meanwhile, Putin is sounding the warning that deploying military forces to Ukraine is a red line that people shouldn't be very cautious about crossing, but he wants to do something about it. And he is going to request talks with NATO to try and defuse the situation. Putin is the only adult in the room right now. And so he wants to basically have a dialogue with NATO to basically stop the buildup of NATO forces on the border of his country, which is a, you know, a legitimate concern there here. Meanwhile, down in Israel, Yair Lapid is saying that there must be a credible military threat against Iran. Sanctions on Iran must not be removed. They must be tightened. There must be a military threat. That's the only way they will stop its nuclear race. And again, Israel has been claiming that Iran is within weeks of having a nuclear bomb for the last 30 years. And so my message to Lapid is, here's your rifle, here's your parachute, go have fun here. Meanwhile, some very troubling video footage has surfaced, seeming to suggest that there are clashes between Iranian and Taliban forces on their border. And the Iranian side appears to be using heavy weapons, was caught on video. Meanwhile, the Taliban are, of course, using all those wonderful modern weapons that Joe Biden gave them during that botched pullout. So we'll see what's going to happen with there. Meanwhile, down in Yemen, the United Nations Development Program projects the war in Yemen will have killed at least 377,000 people by the end of the year. And everybody's doing a good, they're talking about ending the war in Yemen. They're not doing anything. And Yemen keeps waiting and waiting, and more people keep dying. Okay, we're coming up here on our station identification. The video feed is still down. I'm sorry about that. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. Call on in and let's talk about abortion and Rittenhouse and, you know, all the rest of that. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.